I don't have anything to disclose. Four things which I want to focus on. One is to provide a quick overview of the current status. I won't be going into the details of it. There's a wonderful report over there which came out in July 2010, which gives you the full complete overview of where we are with each one of these goals. But I will pull out some of those materials to highlight a few points. Then identify the challenges pertaining to MGG themes after 2015, what are we going to do? And then explain why MGG 8 is absolutely, absolutely, absolutely critical for continuation of the success which we have accrued so far in terms of what we have done as of now and what we will accomplish by 2015. And then specify strategies through which MGG 8 outcomes could be strengthened in the future. And I'm hoping that when I advocate for a few off-the-mark views, there'll be enough challenges and enough discussion from there. These are the Millennium Development Goals, and you have seen those before. And the 8, I just want to point out, the 8th one is to develop a global partnership for development. And there'll be some focus in terms of that particular one. When we look at the current status of accomplishments, we look at the report, there are three summary findings which come out. The first one, of course, I have put it in the other order. The progress made on all 8 goals varies from goal to goal, which means that we haven't accomplished each goal to the same level. The second is the progress made on any goal varies from region to region. I just put it as region to region because it even varies from country to country. And the third thing is within each goal, not every goal, within each goal, there are different number of targets. And within each goal, the accomplishments in each of these targets also vary. So there is a tremendous variability in terms of whether we are looking at a goal, whether we are looking at a region, whether we are looking at a country, whether we are looking at a target within a goal. And so this blanket statement which you often hear that we are making tremendous progress in certain areas has to be interpreted to a certain extent with caution. Here's one example. Here's one example of the goal, which is to eradicate extreme poverty and hunger. And I just, this is a long one, I just sort of sliced it to show you two regions. And what you see over here is the dark green ones already have met the target or they're very close to meeting the target. The red ones, no progress or deterioration. This light one which you see over here, light green, is the progress is sufficient to reach the target if prevailing trends persist. And we see that there are some challenges to that from the external environment. And this, of course, is not in this particular slide, which is the missing or insufficient data. And this is the worrisome one, progress insufficient to reach the target if prevailing trends persist. And those will be these cells over here. So you can see that within a goal, you have three different targets, and you have two different regions, and there is tremendous variability in terms of what we have accomplished so far. Just to give you one more example of it, you see the same kind of thing when we look at the achieving universal primary education, and you can see that even there, there is tremendous variability going from, I'm just taking two regions, but if I were to show you the more regions, there are going to be more variability there. Now, when we look at it, unfortunately, the Millennium Development Goals are standalone. They don't look at the root causes which contribute to the achievement of the goals or non-achievement of the goals. And I'm hoping that by the end of this presentation, I'll make that point clear. That's why the next two slides or so are focused on that. Let's take a look at this one. What this shows us is the out-of-school children. So what we want to do, be sure is that we want children to be in school. So the shorter the height of the bar, it is good. The taller the bar, it's not good. And we look at it in terms of the poorest kids are more likely to be out of school. And we have one of the goals which says primary education for everybody. If you want to achieve primary education, the strategies need to be different in different places. Not only that, there is gender disparity, which you see over here, whether we are looking at it in terms of rural, urban, and so there is a difference in terms of that variable, the place of residence, because rural areas are doing poor as compared to the urban areas in terms of school attendance, and that is even worse for the rural The mouse has got its own mind, so let me try to bring it back. Here it is. So the rural areas, it is even worse for the girls. Why are these things important? Because you see a common thread running through this data. And we have segmented it artificially in terms of those goals, and we are looking at those goals in terms of whether we are making progress or not. Unless we look at them in terms of the interconnectedness of these goals, because they are occurring in the same person whom we are trying to lift up, if you will, it's going to be very difficult to accomplish them. Here's another example. Proportion of boys and girls who are out of school by age and household wealth, and in 42 countries, and this is the data which is from 2001 to 2008. And again, you can see the same things coming up. And I would particularly point out to this one, the secondary school age, and look at this. The odds of being in school and completing it is much less. It's 1 in 2. Boys, it's not terribly different. It is 1 in 3. Okay, so again, you see that pattern which is coming here in this case, gender, in this case, the socioeconomic status. Another one, which you look at the adolescent birth rates. And one thing which I didn't mention in the previous one, those were different MDGs, and this one is an MDG 5. And in MDG 5, which is the maternal health, when we are looking at it, you can see that if we want to change the adolescent birth rates across the board, we got to do better. Because you can see that it is related to in the poorest places, the chances of adolescent birth is higher. And we see that where there is no education, adolescent births are more. In rural areas, adolescent births are more. So those three variables in terms of the place of residence, in terms of the gender, in terms of the opportunity for education, in terms of the wealth or lack of wealth, seem to run through those things. So that's the challenges. The challenges to accomplishing MDGs is we are using a one-shoe-fits-all approach, at least when it was cast. Relative benchmarks are too harsh. What do I mean by that? We are saying that, hey, cut down the childhood mortality by 1/3. Reduce poverty by 1/2. It is more difficult to reduce poverty in a nation which is poorer, where the rates are 40%, bringing it down to 20% is a larger task as compared to where it is 10% and bringing it to 5%. So we cannot just have relative benchmarks. We need to have absolute benchmarks for each one of these areas. It's often donor-centric with considerable variability in availability of donor funds. I'll show that in a couple of things. We haven't built the capacity. We have been focused in terms of almost like vertical programs rather than looking at it in terms of strengthening the ground on which these programs could be built. Key factors such as gender equality and the empowerment of women have not kept pace. On top of it, we have some of these crises which no nation has any control over. So here's looking at the donors, and you can see that this is the total overseas development assistance over here, and this is what you see is to the poorer nations, or resource poorer nations, you can see over there. The United Nations recommendation is that every nation, which is a donor, should provide 0.7% of its gross national product to this, and you don't even see that 0.7 anywhere over here. There are 5 nations which did do that. But there are relatively smaller nations which have always been providing money, but the major 5 donor nations haven't reached anywhere close to even 0.5. The other structural problem, we are using technology. How many of you have a cell phone? That's an oxymoron, right? Everybody has a cell phone, but the point is there are differences. Here, what this shows over here is 2 things. One is this is the fixed broadband. And so this is the fixed broadband in the poorer nations. This is in the developed regions. And this, what you see, is your cell phone. But there also, there's a difference. There's a difference. You can see that the poorer nations, which is the light brown line, and then you can see that over here. So the distribution of the money which is going out is not uniformly bringing up the people who are living in poorer nations. So if you want to think about strategies for MDGs beyond 2015, we got to rethink. We cannot simply take this and then do a linear regression and then extend the line, hoping that we are going to get incremental increases. We cannot. We got to look at whether MDGs can be collectively achieved then in a region or by multiple nations rather than by each nation achieving it in each one of those seven goals. I say seven goals because the eighth one is mostly directed towards the donors. Country-specific absolute and relative benchmarks are absolutely necessary. Capacity building is necessary. Last two, I think, are absolutely essential. MDGs should be made part of each nation's development goals. It cannot be a program. And I cannot think of anything else than the ability to lead a happy, healthy, productive, successful, long life to be a human right. And the MDGs are that. If they are that, they have to be reframed in the context of human rights and not just as health program or economic development programs. We got to address all types of gap. I can explain it, what needs gap, delivery gap, and coverage gap are. We got to develop the overseas development resources with internal resource capacity. This is absolutely essential because donor funding will stop sometime. It will decline. We cannot make any program sustainable unless we have that. We got to adjust trade policies and procedures to benefit low-income nations. We got to build the leadership as well as program implementation and evaluation capability. This last one, I underlined it because it's important for us to think. Why should only the developing nations have, or resource-poor nations have MDGs? Shouldn't the world have MDGs? Think about here in the United States. Think about infant mortality rate. Think about longevity. Think about the cost effectiveness in terms of the money which we put into healthcare. Finally, in the words of Ban Ki-moon, the UN Secretary General in 2010, just before the summit after which the report came along, he said, meeting the goals is everyone's business. Right now, it seems to be the business of the poor countries which need to show progress in all those seven goals without getting the aid which is necessary for them to get there. Failing short or falling short would multiply the dangers of our world from instability to epidemic diseases to environmental degradation, but achieving the goals will put us on a fast track to a world that's more stable, more just, and more secure. Billions of people are looking to the international community to realize the great vision embodied in the Millennium Declaration, which was mentioned earlier in 2000. Let us keep that promise. But that promise cannot be kept if business is as usual in terms of what we have done so far. Thank you.